Because that's what the teaching's on. It is on a lamb. He was the Lamb of Yahweh. And today was the day, on Wednesday, he was crucified before sunset. And so all that really happened, and probably worse than we could even imagine. So we'll begin, that's what the teaching will be on, the Lamb, the Passover, and judgment, and the book of Revelation. The judgment against gods. We're going to see it in another different light. Wendy, do you want to have a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you. Yahushua, thank you for what you did. Sorry. And continue to do for us. Thank you. Praise you for your word and for what we're getting here tonight. Amen.
Amen. We begin in the word lamb. And this is very significant. The first usage of the word lamb, and this, who is the Lamb of Yahweh?
Yahushua.
And what the lamb was signifying was the Passover, which we're going to learn about and look at in a different light, especially in the book of Revelation. It is in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, page 51 in the Old Testament. This is the first usage of the word. Chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. All right. Oh, yeah. And it came to pass after these things that Elohim did prove Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold me. And he said, Take, I pray thee, thy son, thy only one, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee in the land of Moriah, and cause him to ascend there as an ascending sacrifice on one of the mountains which I shall name unto thee. Very tough situation. Now we go to verse 6. So Abraham took the piece of wood for the ascending sacrifice and laid them on Isaac his son, and took in his own hand the fire and the knife, and they went on their way, both of them together. Then said Isaac unto Abraham his father, then said he, My father. And he said, Behold me, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the pieces of wood, but where is the lamb? And that's the first usage of the word lamb. For an ascending sacrifice, and Abraham said, Elohim will provide for himself the lamb, for an ascending sacrifice, my son. So they went on their way, both of them together. So Yahweh would provide the lamb. And that's really significant of what Yahweh did for his son. He offered his son as a lamb. And actually, most any parent would know it's harder to have a child go through something than if you would do it yourself. To watch your child have to go through it. So if you had to change places, you would rather do it. So if you're going to break an arm, your dad would rather break his arm than have you break his arm. And that's the same with our Heavenly Father, with His Son. That's the Elohim will provide for Himself the lamb, which He did. Now we go to 22, verse 14. So Abraham called the name of that place Yahweh Yireh. And if you look at the footnote on A below, what's it say?
Yahweh will provide.
Yahweh will provide. To which it is still said today, in the mountain of Yahweh will provisions be made. So Yahweh will provide. Isn't that significant? The third usage, and those are the first two usages. The third usage is Exodus 12, verse 1. I mean, that we'll start it in 12. Page 95, Exodus. Aaron, can you bring me up my coat behind you? Thank you. Got that napkin, please. Thank you. Gracias. I guess we already had one.
Prego, prego.
All right, this is, we're getting into the 10th plague. And so we're actually going to begin in 11.
kids, the 10th plague that happened in Egypt.
Yeah, so we're going to leave 11 and 1 to give us our context. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, yet one plague will I bring in upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. After that, he will let you go from thence when he doth let you know. When he doth let you go, he will altogether drive you out from hence. But we're going to see that Passover is going to be tied into judgment. And that's the association we're going to be receiving. So now we go to Exodus 1 and 3. And Melania, read 1 through 3. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 3.
And then spake Yahweh unto Moses, saying, Aaron is in the land of Egypt, saying, this month is it to you a beginning of months, the first. It is to you of the months of the year. Speak ye unto all the assembly of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, then let them to take them each man a lamb from his ancestral household, a lamb for a household.
So stop there. That's the second, third uses of the word lamb. This, what Yahweh is about ready to do is so catastrophic is he changed the calendar to fit this situation. So this is a, you know, very significant. We have to really say, why is that? And try to understand the reasoning of that this event is so huge that he actually changed the whole structure of the calendar. Now, Esther, verse 5. And what do they need?
A lamb.
And there's going to be three things they need on this lamb to be. So you come read that.
A lamb without defect, a male a year old, shall be yours. Be from the sheep or from the goat shall ye take it.
Okay, so on the lamb, what three conditions do you need to be? Do you know what a defect is? It means no blemish, which you don't know what a blemish is. No flaws. It's perfect. It doesn't have bad wool. It doesn't have a broken ear or one eye gone. So it had to be without defect. It wasn't lame. What's the second thing, Isaiah?
A male.
A male. There's two. And what's the third thing, Elijah?
A year old.
A year old. Okay, so Yahushua in his ministry, he was a male. He had no blemishes. And we see that his ministry was at least 6 months or less. And so he fits all these conditions.
How does that fit into 1 year?
Well, it's 1 year or less. So it doesn't have to be a year where all of a sudden, what you've got to do is anything under a year. And when people buy lambs today for the Greek Easter or for anything, it's always somebody who's not a year, over a year old.
I remember that one.
Well. Yeah.
Selma, baby.
Yeah. And it will stop death. And so look at 12 and 13. By doing the lamb, and so the lamb, you kill the lamb and you spread the blood, and the lamb was innocent. That's why you use a lamb. It didn't do any sin, did it? But it's going to pay the price. It's going to keep you alive. And what happens in 12, I will pass along, and that's what Yahweh says. There, and this is judgment now. So what is happening, the lamb is stopping judgment from coming on to me, the sacrificing of the lamb. I will pass along, therefore, throughout the land of Egypt this night, and will smite every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from man even to beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. So remember that, because this is going to show up again in the book of Revelation, the gods, the testing, because Yahushua is called the Lamb in the book of Revelation 28 times. Now think of that. So that's 4 times 7. So you have to say, what's up with that? I mean, 28. And he's not called the Lamb in any of the Gospels except for John, which we're going to see. Or in the church epistles, it doesn't exist. So you have to say, what is the significance? But on the gods of Egypt, and because we're going to find out in the book of Revelation, somebody calls himself God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called the beast. And then he has a false prophet who is saying, this is God. Right? And so the gods, and you have Babylon the Great. You know, so you're looking at all the lusts of the world coming into the situation. And I will execute judgment, I, Yahweh. Then shall the blood serve you for a sign on the house wherein ye are. Then will I behold the blood and will pass over you. That's why it's called Passover. What's going to pass over?
Death.
What?
Death.
Yeah, but who's bringing the death?
Yahweh.
Yahweh bringing the death. He's going to pass over you, and there shall be among you no plagues to destroy when I smite the land of Egypt. Could the Egyptians done this? Could they put blood on their post?
Yeah.
You know what would have happened?
Right.
It would not have died. And so the people who did, and if you're a Hebrew, you didn't do it, your firstborn's going to die. So this is the Passover. And that's what Passover is. Yahweh passed over you. Now we go to Isaiah 53. And that's page, chapter 53, page 698.
What page?
698. Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 9. And this is the great prophecy of Yahushua, of the Lamb, dying for the people. So 7, Elijah, you want to read 7 through, let's see here, 9.
Should be 53?
Yeah.
7 through 9?
Yeah, 53, 7 through 9.
How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet.
Isaiah 53, verse 7, 698.
Hard pressed.
The second column on the left page.
Are you in Isaiah?
Oh yeah, he's on the wrong. That's 52 on the left side. This is 53 on the right side.
Hard pressed, he humbled himself, nor opened his mouth, as a lamb to the slaughter is led, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, nor opened his mouth. By constraint and by sentence was he taken away, and of his age who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living? For my people's transgression did the stroke fall on him. And appointed with lawless men was his grave, and the wicked his tomb. Through no violence had he done, nor was guile in his mouth.
So it does show you, we live in a world that can be very wicked, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to realize that. And as best I can see it, half the world is wicked, at least, while the other half is righteous. And that's at least in the United States, because half of them are Democrats, which are wicked, where they know what they're doing, which breaks 5 of the 10 Commandments. And then the other half are Republicans, who are trying to obey the 10 Commandments to the best of their ability. So the other half in the United States used to go for slavery, and they still go for slavery today. They want to enslave. Is that wicked? Did we have slaves in the United States? And who wanted those slaves? The Democrats. The southern states. So they wanted slavery. And so that still today, the people who are going to kill this lamb are the people who go to church. Right? Yeah. Is it a good church? No. Who's running that church?
Bad guys.
Yeah. And who's the head of bad guys?
Satan.
Yeah, you're right. So Satan's running the church. And that's in that, in that sad. Now we go to John 1, the Gospel of John. And that's true today in many cases. Satan is running the church. Page 92 in the New Testament.
Nothing big at the Spanish Inquisition. Stuff like that.
Yeah, we got all sorts of stuff. The supposed crusades, and they killed Jews, and I mean all sorts. Yeah, but all under the guise, it's always under the guise of Christianity. But Yahushua said, you know a tree by its fruit. And so if somebody says, I'm an apple tree, and I go to that tree, and I don't find any apples, you know what I say?
You're not an apple
tree. Or if somebody says, I'm a pear tree, and when I go there, there are lemons that I can't eat, what do I say? You're not a pear tree. I don't care what you call yourself, it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to look at your fruit. Because Satan is disguised as a minister of righteousness, as an angel of light. So if Satan popped in here right now, all right, he would be a beautiful, sparkling angel. Glorious. You know what he asked you to do? To spit on Yahweh. And then that's how you know that's not an angel of Yahweh. That's Satan. I don't care how you're glowing and how your light is, because he's going to tell you not to do what Yahweh says. And that's what he did in the wilderness. He says, if you're the son of God, disobey God. But then you say, you're
but
no angel.
He didn't say it that way.
Yeah, but that's what the point was. That's, yeah, the point was.
Yeah.
Now we go to John. In the Gospels, the word lamb is only used twice, and it's used right here. And 29, let me see, 129, I'm going to start it out. Oh, that's what it starts. And on the morrow he beholdeth Yahushua coming unto him, and that's John the Immerser, and said, see the Lamb of Yahweh who taketh away the sin of the world. That was the purpose of the Lamb. The Lamb was to die because I should have died. And so he died in my place. That's called a substitution. And that's how he takes away the sins of the world. Then we go to verse 35 and 36. On the morrow again, when John, or really his name is Yohanan, standing and from among his disciples too, and looking at Yahushua walking, he said, see the Lamb of Yahweh. And the two disciples hearkened unto him speaking, and they found Yahushua. But Yahushua turning and looking at them, following, said unto them, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which means, when translated, teacher, where abidest thou? And they ended up following him. And so we're going to see there's a connection between the book of John and the book of Revelation. And in my opinion, the book of John should not be with the other three Gospels, since it really has no connection with them, or very little. It should be in front of the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation is really it fills in where John is absent, the Gospel of John, which we're going to see. So, in the Revelation, is in the book of John, there is no day of Yahweh mentioned, as there is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The day of Yahweh is the book of Revelation. John the Immerser in the book of John is not Elijah. Why is Elijah in the other three books? Because the Elijah who's going to be is going to be the two witnesses in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. Pardon me?
Would you explain that, please?
Well, that's a whole other teaching. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they would say, you know, Elijah's supposed to come. And he said, Yahushua said, Elijah has come. And that was John the Baptist. You know, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So he identifies John the Immerser as Elijah, which he's not physically Elijah. He's standing in the shoes of Elijah. And Elijah's job was to do what? To turn people back.
Oh, yeah.
To Yahweh. So Elijah's job was to turn the 10 tribes back to Yahweh. In the book of Malachi, the last chapter, keep your hand here, since we'll do a little refreshing course.
Where are we going?
Chapter of Malachi, last chapter, page 915. And this was 400 years before Christ came along, approximately. So it was prophesied that Elijah was coming. We all know that it's not physical Elijah, because Elijah died. And verse 5. And everybody there, page 915, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Lo, I am sending unto you who?
Elijah.
Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and awful day of what?
Yahweh.
Okay, remember, the day of Yahweh is not mentioned in the Gospel of John. But it is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And what is he going to do? Verse 6?
Bring back the
heart. Go ahead and read it, Wendy.
And he shall bring back the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with utter destruction.
So the Hebrew nation was waiting for Elijah to come. And he did, and his name was John the Immerser. and he wore the girdle, and he was out in the wilderness, so everything. But in the Gospel of John, they say, are you John? And he says, no. And why? Because the two witnesses are going to be taking that duty in the book of Revelation. They're the ones who are going to, you know, did fire come down when Elijah spoke?
Yep.
Yeah, on the 50 soldiers twice.
Yeah, I'm a man of Elijah.
Is fire coming down in chapter 11 of Revelation?
Yep.
As fire comes out of their mouth, they're going to stop the rain, just like Elijah stopped the rain. And so that's the similarities. In the Gospel of John, and we don't know who wrote the Gospel of John. We call it the Gospel of John. John the Baptist did not say repent. He just witnessed. He just spoke that this is the Messiah, this is the Messiah, this is the Messiah. And all the other three books, he said repent, 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 which means to turn. And judgment is not in the book of John, but it's in the book of Revelation. So that's where we're going now. To the book of Revelation, chapter 1, page 252. And to see these usages of the Lamb, and to try to ring our bell to say, what are you trying to say here? What are you teaching us? And then how is this associated with Passover? Because if I'm saying the Lamb, I'm talking about Passover.
Yeah.
So remember in Passover, if you want to live, you kill the Lamb. Well, otherwise you got judgment. Well, this is all through the book of Revelation, is turn or die. Turn or die. And probably the great majority is going to die. And we start off in the book of Revelation, page 252, and we'll see. Read chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. John, unto the seven assemblies which are in Asia, favor to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is coming. I love that this whole book never identifies proper names. Very little. Character 1. And from the seven ruachs, which are before his throne. We're going to find out those are seven terrestrial messengers who are going to be pouring out the bowls. And also, this does not say, favor to you and peace from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit would have been a good place for it. Or the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost would have been a good place for it. Not even close. The seven ruachs which are before the throne, and from Yahushua Mashiach, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the rulers of the king of the earth. So this is all associated with his death and resurrection. Unto him that loved us and loosed us out of our sins with his what?
Blood.
That's the Passover sacrifice. And he hath made us to be a kingdom priest, unto his Elohim and Father. Does Christ have a God?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he does. He has a God. It says right here, unto his Elohim and Father, unto whom be the glory and the dominion unto the ages. Amen. That's our introduction to this book. Now we're going to go to verse 17 and 18. And we'll start seeing the word Lamb. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet, this is Christ, as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not fear, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I became dead, and lo, living am I unto the ages of the ages, and have the keys of death and of Sheol. So this is still life and death going all the way through the book of John, or the book of Revelation. And we got that. Okay, the Lamb starts in chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to read all of chapter 5. And so, Wendy, would you like to read that?
Yeah.
Or at least until you get tired.
And I saw upon the right hand of him that was sitting.
Well, let me stop you for just a minute. Chapter 4, which we don't have time to read, is putting Yahweh. And Yahweh is always sitting, which is great. And we're going to see the Lamb doing what? Standing. And so remember when Stephen was being stoned, he saw the glory of Yahweh, and standing at his right hand was Yahushua. So pay attention to the sitting and the standing. Now we can, and 4 is all about Yahweh, who has no image. there's just glimmers and lights, and 24 elders are around him saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And we have the four cherubims, and we have the ministers and everything going on there. But it's all no image. And now we get into the other guy, which is his son, chapter 5. Now go ahead and read chapter 5.
And I saw upon the right hand of him that was sitting upon the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a mighty messenger proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to unloose the seals thereof?" And no one was able, in heaven or on earth or under the earth, to open the scroll or to look thereon. And I began to weep much, because no one worthy was found to open the scroll or to look therein, thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Do not weep. Lo, the Lion that is of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath overcome to open the scroll and the seven seals thereof." And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb.
That's the first usage of lamb in the book of Revelation.
Standing, yeah. Showing that it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh sent forth into all the earth. And he came and at once took it out of the right hand of him that was sitting upon the throne.
I'm going to stop you for a minute. Remember in the movie we saw Yahushua resurrected? Mm-hmm. Now we're going to see a different person, not beat up and mauled to death. He's going to be powerful. Nobody can kill him and nobody can touch him. And he takes the scroll from Yahweh. Okay.
And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and bowls of gold full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, "Worthy art thou to take the scroll and to open the seals thereof, because thou wast slain, and didst redeem unto Yahweh by thy blood man out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and didst make them unto our God," or is that El? "Kingdom and priests, and they reign on the earth. And I saw and heard a voice of many messengers round about the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And every created thing which was in heaven and upon the earth and under the earth and upon the sea and all the things in them heard I saying, 'Unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion unto ages of ages.' And the four living creatures continued saying, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and did homage."
So in this book of Revelation, Yahweh is sitting.
Yeah.
Why? Because somebody's in charge.
Yeah.
And that's his son, Yahushua, who is standing. This is my son. He's got the company. He's running the company, the corporation. Very important, Elijah. Did you could be in a situation where you have to go through terrible things for a period of time, like Christ did, and get the payoff. Did he get a good payoff?
Yes.
So you have to remember, that is it. You know, he could have said, "No, I'm not going to do that." When he was praying, he said, "Can you take this away from me? I really don't want to do this." Three times he prayed for it. And so there's going to be times in all of our lives where we're given an order to do something, and we say, "I don't want to do this." But it's Yahweh's will, and he pays great. Yeah. So there's many people who have gone to other countries because they were supposed to and had very severe hardship. Unimaginable hardship, but they'll get paid one millionfold by doing that. And so you can say, you can have $5 a day or $10 billion when you get to meet Christ. I said, I'll take the $10 billion.
Yeah.
All right. So keep that in mind. Now we go to chapter 6, verse 1. And now we're going to see the anger of the Lamb. So this is a different Lamb that's being slain. And I saw, and when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, go. There is the Lamb, open the seal. And this is vengeance. We go to verse 12. These are things to make people turn, to repent. Yahweh tells us, if a person is living in sin, we talk to them and say, don't do that anymore, right? And if they say, okay, and then we can keep fellowship with them. But they said, no, I'm going to keep sinning. What are we supposed to do?
Don't.
We're supposed to move away from them and have nothing to do with them. We separate ourselves. And that can maybe bring them back to Christ, because once they say, you can't be my friend anymore. So if Kaylee says, or any of your friends, and they say, we're going to disobey our parents, and you say, you can't do that, because Yahweh says the fifth commandment. You have to obey your mother, or fourth commandment. And you say, if you decide to do that, I can't have anything to do with you. And if they consistently do that, then you have to say, I can't have any fellowship with you. And that can turn them, so all these pains that are coming down on people is to, for one reason, is to stop doing what you're doing. So if you don't want to be spanked, do what's right. If you don't want to have your money taken away, do what is right. If you want to have a car, do what is right. You know, if you don't want to go to jail, don't break the
law.
And so these are people breaking the law, and so this is a hammer time. It's coming down on them. To save them, to say repent. And the rest of you don't repent, die. So that's, let's go to verse 12. And when I saw, that's chapter 6, verse 12. And I saw when he opened the sixth seal that a great earthquake took place, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the full moon became as blood, and the stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree, shedding her fig trees when by great wind is shaken, and the heaven was drawn as a scroll rolling itself up, and every mountain and island out of their places were shaken. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rulers of the thousands and the rich and the mighty and every bondman and freeman hid themselves within the caves and within the rock of the mountains. And they said unto the mountains and unto the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne. Who is what? Who?
Yeah.
Remember, he's always sitting. And from the anger of who?
The
Lamb. Can Christ get mad?
Yeah.
Yes, he can. And he will get mad.
You don't want him mad.
Because the great day of his anger is come, and who is able to stand? We're not going to be in that day. Because we have made him our Lord. You could have a neighbor to say, I'm not going to make him my Lord. See ya. Because if he comes back, you're staying, and you're going to go through this. Now we go to chapter 7. And we won't read it, but all of chapter 7, he is the Redeemer. And this is the 144,000. So with the Lamb, there's either two things. You're either going to die or you're going to live. And so you either put the blood over the post or you didn't. If you did put the blood over the post, what's going to happen?
Firstborn's dead.
Firstborn's dead.
Dead. If you did, you live. And these guys live. So that's chapter 7. Now we go to chapter 13. There's Lamb in there. Now these are always going to be Hebrews also. Hebrews and Gentiles are the nations, not the church. 13:1, we'll get a context. And these are the gods that are going to be present today. We have gods today right now. And you know who people worship? Elijah? What God do people in the United States worship today? That's not earth. Yahweh. Could be the earth.
Earth.
Who do they go to help them?
Mary.
Yahushua,
Jesus.
Mary.
No, not those people. They go to government. So today, it's the federal, in the United States, it's the federal government. It's the communist government. It's the socialist government in England. It's the communist government in the United States, in Russia. So the gods of today are government, because men will say, we will take care of you. So whoever you go to for your
sufficiency
is your God. And so with us, even doctors can be a God. And so whenever we get hurt, we go to Yahweh first. And if we can't get delivered, then we go to the doctor. And so with all of us, when we need money, we go to Yahweh first. If we can't pull it off, then we go to a bank or somebody else. But we always go to Yahweh in Christ. 13 verse, so here's the gods. And I saw out of the sea a wild beast coming up, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and upon his horns 10 diadems, and upon his head names of blasphemy. I mean, this guy hates Yahweh.
A diadem is a crown.
And now we go to 5 and 6. Go ahead and read 5 and 6, Melania.
Okay. Where's 5?
I can't find five.
Yeah, there's
blocked out. Just go for it. And there was given unto him.
Go to six.
No, that's five, actually.
What?
Okay, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things of blasphemies, and was given unto him to act 42 months. There's another six, see?
Yeah.
That's all. That's all. Yeah, and that's 5 and 6. And he opened his mouth for blasphemy against who?
Yahweh.
Did Pharaoh blaspheme Yahweh?
Yes.
Yes. Over and over and over again. So that's where the Lamb is coming in, and these are judgment upon the gods. And Yahweh said, I'm doing these plagues so everybody can see my judgment against the gods of Egypt. Because you're going for help. All right? They went to the Nile, the god of the Nile, to give them food. And so what did Yahweh do to the Nile?
Turn it into blood.
Could they eat out of it? No. And if the Nile was a real god, they would reject that blood. Could he get rid of that blood, the Nile?
No.
See? And so these are the gods. Now we go to verse 8. And all they who are dwelling upon the earth will do homage unto him, this fake god. Everyone whose name is not written in the scroll of life of the Lamb slain. Isn't that great? Lamb slain. From the foundation of the world. And this is so poetic compared to being Yahweh slain. I mean, the Trinity, it's just blasphemy. It really comes down to, it's such a sad state that probably 98% of the Christians are breaking the first, second commandments. And actually discrediting Christ for everything that he did. Yeah, but that's the way it is. And so we have to stand a harder course than they do. So you're going to be corrupted and say, come on, come to our church and just believe what we believe. And then you can have big crowds. You can have big bands. You can really feel like you belong to a place, right? You don't have to be in a little home by yourself where nobody's interested. You don't have to read this. We don't even read the Bible. We just talk about good things. And that is the churches today. That is it. And actually, we're going to tell you just the opposite. We're going to have you worship false gods, and one of them is Jesus as our new God. And this God we can see. That other God, we can't see him, right? But Jesus we can see. We actually have images. And he's got visitations, and you know, we can put him in our walls. I got statues for my car. Yeah, I've got him all over the place. So this guy we can see, and who else was like that? Didn't Aaron make a god? It was a calf. Could they see that god? Could they see Yahweh?
No.
So man always wants to see something. Beside the point. Now verse 11. But you'll be going through that. And I saw another wild beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns, look at that, like unto lamb. And I'm going to say this is the 29th usage of the word lamb, but this is the Christ. And I bet you this is the counterfeit, because this guy's a prophet. He's going to look like the lamb in front of the God, because the God is going to sit in the temple and say, I am God, and the false prophet is going to say he is God. And actually, they're going to make a statue. This is a cool statue. You know what the statue is going to do? It's going to be about 60 feet high, six-story building, and guess what it's going to do? It's going to talk and move and walk. It's going to come alive. It really tells you that in 13.
Calm.
That's trick a lot of people, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You say these guys must be God because who can do that? But we've already told it's going to happen. So we can say, no, you're the other God. You're the false God because we already, the whistle's been blown on you. We knew that was coming. Right? So that's the false lamb. Now 14 verse 1, Revelation chapter 14 verse 1. And I saw and lo the lamb standing again upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his name and his father's name written upon their foreheads. Do you want to be one of those guys? Sure.
Wait.
The name of Yahweh on your forehead.
Yeah.
People don't like the word Yahweh? It's got to be stamped right on our foreheads. Get used to it.
Little tattoo.
And I'd be very proud of that. Those are the redeemed. These are people that took the Lamb's blood.
We were
and
bought.
So they are redeemed from Adam's sins. So we remember Adam and Eve sold us into slavery. So when we're born, we are a slave until we are purchased out of that slavery. And if we use the blood of Christ, we are purchased. Now we go to 17 verse 14. And Esther, you want to read that?
Yeah. So chapter 17 verse 14?
Yes. Now speak loud.
And read verse 14.
Yes. These?
These have what mind in their power and
these with the Lamb.
These are to the Lamb and will make war, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and they who are all with them are called the chosen ones and faithful.
That's right. So the wild beast is going to make war with the Lamb, and that's happening today. When they want to take prayer out of schools, they take the Bible out of schools, who are they fighting?
Yahweh.
You and me? No, they're fighting the boss. Yahweh and Christ. Now we go to 22, chapter 22, the end of the book. It's so significant that it's ending with the Lamb. It's always the Lamb, the significance of the Lamb. 1-3. And he pointed out to me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, issuing forth out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb, in the midst of the broadway thereof, and on the side, and on this side of the river, and on that was a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, every several month yielding its fruit, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and no curse shall be any more, and the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb shall be therein. And there's the throne of the Lamb. And his servants will render divine service unto him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads. And night shall be no more, and there will be no need of a light of a lamp or a light of the sun, because the Lord, Yahweh Elohim, will give light unto them, and they shall reign unto the age of ages. And that's when everything is done away with. Just about finished. The Passover, I'll just give you some scriptures for other people for the future. There are really three great Passovers, and one is Hezekiah's. And so the first thing that goes when people rebel against Yahweh is the Passover. Today, the first thing that goes is tongues, interpretation, prophecy. So they quit doing the Passover in Hezekiah's day, which is approximately about 300 years after Solomon. So they said it hasn't been like this since Solomon. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Then we have the next one is after Hezekiah, we have Manasseh, who is 55 years sinning. And watch this note. It's distracting everybody, the cat.
Oh, sorry.
Everybody went, just throw it down.
Not to you.
Okay, throw the cat down. Watch your phone. There you go. And so we go into Josiah, which is about 75 years old. His was a great Passover. That's 2 Chronicles 35.
His was a what?
Great Passover. He came back. But Manasseh stopped the Passover again. And then Amon, his son, stopped the Passover. Josiah didn't have it until his 18th year reign. So we're about 75 years again, which is past our lifetime. That there was not one Passover. Mm-hmm. then they had it with Josiah, and then when Josiah died, everything broke again. Mm-hmm. And so we have Ezra, which is about 100 years after that, where they're taken away out of Judah and Israel, and they come back, and they have a great Passover. That's Ezra 6, 9 through 12. One thing we will do is we'll show you where Good Friday came from. Why do people say he was killed on Friday? Well, according to the Hebrews, what day is Sabbath?
Saturday.
No.
Friday, sunset, for Saturday.
Yeah, so everybody's got to know this. Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and he started with evening. Evening and morning, day one. And so when sunset ends, that's the beginning of the day. So that's when the Hebrew day, and that's not even the Hebrew day, that's Yahweh's day. He started that way. So the first day of the week is Sunday, is our Sunday. The last day is our Saturday, but our days go from midnight to midnight. Theirs doesn't. Theirs goes from about 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And so their Sabbath is Friday to Saturday. And Saturday is the end of the week at sunset. So that's their Sabbath. Now we're going to look at Leviticus 23, page 149. This is important. How they made this mistake. And then you can explain to people, oh, here's what went wrong. 23:1. And this is, if you look at the note above, on page 149, it's called the Appointed Seasons, on chapter 23. And we're going to go down to Passover, which is verse 5. In the first month, on the 14th of the month, that's Nisan, that's right now. The sun is set. This is actually beginning the day of unleavened bread. So once the sun is set, this is actually the 15th of Nisan right now. He died on the 14th. That's when the Passover lamb was supposed to be slain on the 14th, which we're going to see, which was before, you know, probably around 3 o'clock.
Today?
Yes, that would have been the 14th of Nisan. Right now, the sun is set. Now we're in the 15th of Nisan. Mm-hmm. That's the first day of unleavened bread.
Yeah.
5. In the first month, on the 14th of the month, between the evenings, is a Passover unto Yahweh. That's the 14th. And on the 15th of this month is the festival of unleavened cakes unto Yahweh. That's when the Israelites left Egypt, was on the 15th of Nisan. 7 days and 11 cakes shall you eat. But listen, there's a situation here. On the first day, a holy convocation shall there be. No laborious work shall you do. So today is a Sabbath, a Sabbath, for all Hebrews. Is it Sunday? No. I mean, is it the regular Sabbath?
It's not
riding
a Sabbath?
No, it is a Sabbath because it's the day of unleavened bread. It's the 15th of November.
It's not the weekly Sabbath.
It's not the weekly Sabbath. Yeah, it's
the high Sabbath.
And so there's one at the beginning of the holidays, and there's one at the seventh day. So on the 7-day feast, the first day, nobody worked, and the last day, nobody worked. That's what Gentiles don't realize when they translate the Bible, when they read the Bible. So we go to John 19, verse 31, page 116 in the New Testament. And then even then, it becomes a hard issue. We're talking about the atheists or agnostics. There's no such thing. It's a hard issue. And for people who reject the Scripture, it's a hard issue. For the Jews who rejected Christ, it's a hard issue. It's a stiff neck. You know, it's just same old, same old, same old. And so we see in verse 31, Christ is crucified on the 14th of Nisan. The Jews, therefore, sensing it was a preparation that the bodies might not remain upon the cross during the Sabbath, for that Sabbath day was what?
Great.
Great. That is the 15th of Nisan. That Sabbath was great. And so the Gentiles don't know that. They think, well, it must be Friday. Because Sabbath begins Friday at sunset. The regular weekly Sabbath is Friday. So he died on Friday, and we call it Good Friday. Why would you call it Good Friday? I have no idea. One great thing with Republicans, basically, is that there's no trading on the market on Good Friday. So that's very admirable for capitalists, I guess you would say. So that's not the only holy day that they need to be commended on that. But that's where we get it. And then it's supposed to be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
72 hours.
And that's 72 hours. And from Friday at sunset to Sunday morning is not 72 hours, not even close. One other thing is the real Sabbath, or the real Nisan, was on the 11th. Because the 12th, is today the 12th?
Yeah.
Or is on the 10th. It was on the 10th. So yeah, the feast days had to be the 15th of the month. So this is before. The 15th of the month is always a full moon. The full moon was on the 11th. So that was the 15th of Nisan. And so the Hebrews celebrated like Monday and Tuesday. Monday was their Passover, which is right according to the lunar calendar, because their feast days always have to be on a full moon. And so they adjust that. The days move according to the moon. Okay, but when Christ was crucified, it had to be on a Wednesday, because when he got up, it was the beginning of the week.
Why did their feast days have to have a full moon?
Pardon me?
Lunar calendar. The whole year wasn't all 365 days.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's on 360, and they have to readjust the calendar just like we do. But a feast day has to, leavened bread is always on the 15th.
Right.
And so the 15th on a lunar calendar is full moon.
Right, right.
The same way with the, Festival of Tabernacles, or Festival of Booths, is on the 15th.
Right.
Has to be on a full moon, so they adjust it according to the full moon.
We get on a leap year, we get an extra day this, and they get an extra month.
Yeah, they get a month off, because every year they're, five and a quarter days off, one quarter day off. But isn't this great on how Yahweh did make it synchronize? He could have. And he did. And I thought, why'd you do that? Because, we're always... But I guess you're not going to get hooked up on one day, because it's going to keep moving all the time. Because you can't worship a day, because in 5 years, that's not going to be the day.
Yeah.
And so,
I like all the extra holy days.
Yeah.
Holidays.
Yeah, that's right. And those are holy days. That's what holiday means.
Mm-hmm.